So I think we're going to get started. Oh. Apologize because I have, I think, glasses. Welcome, counselors. Welcome, folks in the audience. We will start our agenda session. We do have one resolution tabled, and we'll be taking that one first, correct, Clerk Johnson?
President Kennedy, we can certainly proceed accordingly if you'd like.
We'll take that one first on Monday then as well. Okay. Vice President Randorf, did you want a item?
One.
I believe we're just going to read in the tabled resolution, and then we'll need to take it off, vote to take it off the table.
Which number is that?
Provide an update on that when you read it in.
That is item number 4.
Excellent. Will do. Thank you, President Kennedy. Item number 4, Resolution 198, is a resolution confirming assessment role for sanitary sewer connection at 3607 Piedmont Avenue.
Mr. Shuckman, please.
Kennedy, counselors, I traded emails with the resident who had been at the meeting last Monday. We were able to make a slight adjustment based on the timing of his initial, what would have been his original assessment date, and I let him know that. He was comfortable with that and aware that we will move it forward on Monday. And so certainly if he has an alternate opinion on that, he could speak for himself, but he did email me that he understood and he appreciated the work that had been done to look at it, and so we should be fine to move it forward.
Abel?
I think we'll just read it in and then we'll make any motions on Monday.
Oh, okay, so we don't table now. Okay, got it. Oh, it's tabled, okay. Oh, thank you.
Okay, Councilor Mayo.
And Kennedy, just a process question. Will we have another opportunity then for citizens to be heard outside of our regular public section on Monday?
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, are you speaking to this specific item? As I understand it, the public hearing was opened and closed last meeting, and so I believe that that part is handled. This is tabled to just answer the open question that the resident had about what options he had. And so he has been presented with those. He is comfortable, and you should, as far as I'm concerned, you should be able to take this off the table and act on it and move forward.
Did have any concern he could bring that up during the opportunity as it exists? Okay.
Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, that's correct. I don't expect that we will see him, but he, based on his email to me, he understood that we were going to move forward and he was comfortable with it.
Thank you. That constituent or our community member would be able to speak on that during the opportunities for citizens to be heard. And then we'll do this and remove it from the table, and then we'll have the vote, and then we go to the consent agenda. So it wouldn't move from where it is. Councilor Anderson?
Yeah, and as I understand, so that's, we would have to vote to remove it from the table, and then
okay. Councilor Mayo, are you meeting? Okay, next item, Vice President Randorf, we're on the consent agenda now. Item 5.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Item 5, Resolution 207, is a resolution authorizing an agreement with the Duluth Airport Authority to insure certain Duluth Airport Authority property and equipment under the city's property and boiler insurance policies. Item 6, Resolution 257, is a resolution approving the amended memorandum of agreement between the state of Minnesota and local governments and authorizing participation in national opioid settlements. Item 7, Resolution 260, is a resolution approving the budget for fiscal year May 1, 2023 to April 30th, 2024 in the amount of $7,647,935 for the Spirit Mountain Recreation Area Authority. Item 8, Resolution 262, is a resolution authorizing a First Amendment to Contract 24353 with Hecock, Hartman, Koshmerl, Cosgriff, Johnson, Lane, and Fenstra, PA for additional legal professional services in the amount of $43,000 for an amended contract total not to exceed $82,000 and extending the term of the agreement to December 31st, 2023.
Now, we don't need any more days of winter, but thank you. Any questions? Oh, you do have one? Vice President Randorf, go ahead.
I know item 8 is a new agreement with this legal firm that will work on our injury claims. Can you tell us a little bit more, Mr. Schuckman, about that and the reason we're doing this and just a little bit more data point?
Hey, Vice President Randorf, this is actually an amendment to an existing contract to increase the dollar amount, the not to exceed total. And so this is an ongoing arrangement that we have with this law firm. They are handling our workers' compensation claims on behalf of the city. And this is done because our perspective is that it is best handled by someone who specializes in this so that we're doing the best we can with it and also not overburdening staff in the attorney's office. And so Deputy City Attorney Marcus Jones is here and may be able to speak more to it if you'd like. And if not, we certainly can get information back to you.
Any more information, Vice President?
I'm good. I think I'm good.
We're on item number 9, personnel. Councilor Forsman, could you read in for Councilor Wall?
Certainly, President Kennedy. Sorry, I was reading that resolution there. We've got resolution 259 confirming the reappointment of Chris Sadat and Carrie Ryan to the Duluth Public Utilities Commission. Resolution 276 confirming the reappointment of members to the Duluth Boards and Commissions. And resolution 277 confirming appointment of members to Duluth Boards and Commissions.
Sounded like it read the same. And I need to go back. Is there a reason why there's...
President Kennedy, one's a reappointment and one's an appointment.
Yep.
Want to go back to item 8? I see you have your hand up. Are you?
No, I was just reading.
If there's any questions on those three items, personnel? If not, we'll move on to Councilor Anderson, Planning Economic Development, item 12.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Resolution 258, authorizing development agreement in the amount of $14 million. And the ground lease with St. Luke's Hospital of Duluth for design and construction of a new parking ramp as part of the Duluth Regional Exchange District. Resolution 261, authorizing the building official to abate nuisances by removal of two structurally unsound buildings in the city of Duluth at a total cost not to exceed $70,000. Resolution 267, approving a 20-year development agreement between the city of Duluth and Center City Housing for the Wadena West Residential Project at a total cost not to exceed $1,750,000. Resolution 283, authorizing proper city officials to accept a $3,875 grant award from the Office of Broadband Development Assessing Digital Inclusion Mini Grant Program to be used for expenses incurred during community engagement. If I may, President Kennedy. Mr. Schuckman, Resolution 258 about that parking ramp. Is this the same parking ramp that's talking about for years? that's actually near. Is it nearer Essentia than it is St. Luke's?
President Kennedy, Councilor Anderson. No, this is so. The medical district legislation provided for ramps to benefit Essentia, which is under construction and moving forward, or will be under construction this summer and moving forward, and then also a ramp to benefit St. Luke's. And so this is the St. Luke's specific one, and they have just had a different timeline for doing this work than Essentia has. And so it has always been our expectation that it would come later than Essentia's work, and so that is what this is just bringing that forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Anderson. Councilor Randolph, are you in the queue?
I am not.
So I believe we'll go to Councilor Mayo and then Councilor Forsman.
Thank you, President Kennedy. On that same resolution about the parking ramp, I was just curious, given that we have the kind of other parking ramp project moving forward of trying to find potential other parties that could take over those ramps and other suitable uses for the ones throughout downtown. Is this being factored into that overall plan as a new ramp? And does the city play any role in kind of the management of this ramp, or is it going to be St. Luke's managing this?
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, they are geographically distinct enough that they're not, I don't see them, we don't see them as related. The intent is to provide for parking for St. Luke's hospital operations. My understanding of the legislation is that St. Luke's, in this case, will be responsible for development and construction of the ramp, but then operationally the city will be responsible for ongoing operations. And part of the reason for that is to make sure that a portion of the revenue pursuant to the legislation is required to go back to the state to help pay for the bonding. And so that is why the city then becomes the operator of that ramp.
And thank you for that answer. And then one other question, if I may. It's regarding Resolution 283 with the broadband grant award. I was just curious in general about the status of where we're at with that project and if we can expect to see anything else soon. I know this is for expenses for that community engagement piece of it, but I'm just kind of curious from an administration standpoint when we can expect to see more.
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, I will, Director Fleege and I will work to get you an updated timeline on what that looks like.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Back to the ramp. Mr. Shuckman, the other 50% that doesn't go to the state is collected for city parking fund benefit, correct?
Kennedy, Councilor Forsman, that is correct.
I guess related to Councilor Mayo's question, so do we project that even with only getting 50%, and I'm glad that we got the legislation to even build this thing in the first place, but only getting the 50%, do we project that the ramp will cash flow based on maintenance needs and all those other aspects?
And Kennedy, Councilor Forsman, that is a good question. I'm not sure that I have the expertise to answer that, but I am happy to ask Mr. Bauer to reach out to you and talk that through. My suspicion is that based on the city not funding the construction of the ramp, that revenue coming in, even 50% of it, is enough for us to plan for maintenance that hopefully won't be needed in the immediate future. And I'm happy to ask Mr. Bauer to talk that through more specifically with you if you'd like.
Great. Thank you.
Any other counselors? Question? We'll move on to item number 16 under Committee of the Whole. For me, it's a resolution. It's 286, affirming commitment to development of residential housing in Duluth and clarifying residential requirements in housing development agreements. Any questions or comments on this one? Anderson.
Thank you, President Kennedy. First off, I just want to say thank you to the attorney's office and the planning office for all the hard and good work that was done on this resolution. I know that counselors requested that we have a resolution like this, and I wanted to say, and I'll talk more about this on Monday, but I think that the work that you all did exceeded my expectations, and I'm really grateful because it's a really important issue. So there's a lot that's covered in this, and I really encourage everybody who's interested in it to really bust out the whole full text of this resolution. The question that I have is, in meeting with city staff on Monday in the attorney's office, I learned a couple of terms that I had never heard before related to the affordable units. So when we do these, when we do our TIFs, we often associated with the TIFs are affordable, a certain number of affordable units at a certain percentage. But what I learned on Monday is that those units can be either fixed or floating. And in this case, we don't have any designation for that within our agreements at this point, as far as I understand. So as right now, there's problems for tenants at Lincoln Park Flats because they are tenants who moved into a SIG. For example, a friend of mine or a colleague of mine moved into a studio apartment without having to income qualify. And now it's being told this unit is going to be turned into an affordable unit, and therefore you need to income qualify. So I'm curious if Director Fleege or Deputy Director Fulton or anybody else would have any recommendations for us or thoughts about the advantages of putting in requiring or not requiring fixed units for these affordable units, or is it best that we leave them floating like this and the potential that impact on tenants?
President Kennedy, Councilor Anderson, I think from our perspective, and I'm happy to ask Director Fleege to speak to this as well if you'd like, I think having the flexibility to work with each individual developer based on the needs of that development and the potential uses is helpful. And so my ask in general is that we not be restricted too tightly to how we do that so that we're able to adapt as needed. Certainly the spirit of and the resolution as written is something that we're happy to work with you on and appreciate the way it's written. But I would ask for no specific restrictions that make it difficult for us to work with individual developers as needed.
So I appreciate that context but I come back to so that's the broader question, you know, for the future. But then I come back to the issue of the tenants who are currently in Lincoln Park Flats, who are, you know, someone's in a unit right now. They did not income qualify and did not have to. And now they are going to have to leave their home. And even granted, it may be just moving to another floor. But it just seems like that would really stink. You know, you have a lease, you have a home, you put stuff up on the walls. And now after a year being told you have to move. I don't know if there's anything that can be done for these tenants who are there currently, or if, I don't know if the developer, the manager of the Lincoln Park Flats is taking that into consideration, doing it about that. I know I'm getting really deep.
President Kennedy, Councilor Anderson, I can't speak to the decisions that they make in terms of the operations of the building. Those are theirs. We are in ongoing discussions with them about how to move forward, and I don't have a whole lot that I can that is terribly appropriate to share at this point, given the timing of where we are in that process. But I agree with you, that would stink, and I think that it is something we're paying attention to.
I appreciate that very much. All in all, again, I really encourage my colleagues, everyone here, and anybody in the community is interested to really pull out the details of this resolution. And I think it really does go a long way toward clarification on this project and this administration's position, and how we are, I hope we're seen as doing everything that we can to support our residents and bring clarity to developers. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Councillor Randor?
Thank you, President Kennedy. And I have a follow-up question you may have answered already, and maybe it's... So we have this resolution in front of us. We know a big piece of this is the Lincoln Park Flats. No updates, it sounds like, today for us, but do we know when an update could potentially be forthcoming?
Kennedy, Vice President Randor, I'm not comfortable giving you a timeline because this is not a city building. It's not a city operated building, and we are very committed to working with the developer to trying to find the right path forward. And also it's not entirely in our control. And so I will just tell you that those conversations are ongoing, that the developer is participating in them, and that is very appreciated. And we are working Director Fleege and his staff are working along with the city attorney's office to move that as quickly as possible and also be mindful of all the many, many factors involved in it.
A follow-up question, would most likely whatever is decided by DETA have to come before the DETA commissioners first and then to us?
President Kennedy, Vice President Randorf, I'm going to ask Attorney Jones if he or one of his staff want to speak to that. I'm not sure that I'm able to speak to that process.
And Kennedy, Councillor Randorf, and also thank you, Councillor Anderson, for your kind words. We have two members of our staff here today that can speak to that, and I'll defer to them. Bowman.
Good evening, President Kennedy and councilors. To your question, Councilor Randolph, it depends on what the action is that is recommended. There are certain actions that the DETA board takes that must come before the City Council, and then there are others that are not required to come before the City Council. So without the context of what that action is, I can't definitively answer the question.
And just as a follow-up to that, if it did happen, we know the developer is on a timeline. Would we call a special DETA meeting then in that case if it needed DETA approval?
Kennedy and Councilor Randall, yes, I'm getting a shake of the head by Chris Bleach, who is the DETA executive, that it would take a special meeting.
Thank you, Vice President Randorf. Councilor Forsman.
Thank you, President Kennedy. I will not be here on Monday, and so I just wanted to say quickly my thanks to the councilors who worked with the attorney's office to put this together. I would certainly support it if I was going to be here on Monday, and I think there's a lot of anger in the community about this for good reason. I also think, you know, I applaud the city for working to try to find a solution. And I would just, as I expect public comment to be angry on Monday, want us to be really cognizant of there's such a need for housing throughout the city at every income level. And what I don't want to see come from this project is sort of a rekindling of some of the discussion I saw a couple of years ago, which is really affordability versus market rate. And we need both of those in the city. So I get it on this project and why there's a lot of upset people. I was one of them. I didn't have any heads up that this was coming. But I just don't want us to let that kind of spill over into some of the other decisions that we might have to make this year. And I appreciate you giving me a little privilege since I won't be here to share my thoughts.
Thank you, Councilor Forsman. Councilor Mayo.
Thank you, President Kennedy. First off, I'd like to thank the authors for your work on this and for city staff for answering any questions that I had in the meantime as well. Obviously, this last week was kind of a flurry of information, and we all learned about things kind of as it was happening almost. I was kind of curious for I added a couple, two questions, one for the authors. And this is just a clarifying. I know a lot of this, the whereas statements within this are kind of looking at the specific development. But just to clarify for the public, this is looking at moving forward as a council and moving forward policy-wise, what we're going to be reviewing. I'm getting yes nods. Yes. Okay. I don't know if anyone wanted to.
Councilor Anderson, please.
Thank you for the question, Councilor Mayor. I think it's a both and. There are specifics in here that address the situation at Lincoln Park Flats, and there are also whereases and the statement of purpose that address the whole issue going forward and really encompassing all development in the city.
Thank you. And I think that's important, too, that we recognize the situation at hand while we're looking forward and saying, here's what we can do to prevent situations like this moving forward. And then just one question, administrative related. I was curious if there's any process or sort of like flagging with these types of developments that receive public funding that could happen if a permit is applied for in the future, that it could be, you know, hey, we just want to flag that this is related to a development that received public funding of some sort so that there's kind of an immediate notice right up the chain.
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, that is that's a great question, and that is happening.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Those properties for future, so we do not have this issue.
Thank you.
First, we will move on. Item 17, Councilor Mayo, Public Works and Utilities, please.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Item 17, Resolution 254 is authorizing a one-year service agreement with PEC Solutions, LLC, DBA Parsons Electric, and Hunt Electric Corporation for miscellaneous electrical project and repair services for the Traffic Operations Division for an estimated total of $150,000 each and a total amount not to exceed $300,000. Item 18, Resolution 270 is authorizing a purchase from Energetics Systems, LLC of a heating energy transfer station for the Old Central High School building, Zenith DCHS, steam to hot water conversion project for an amount not to exceed $97,300. Item 19, Resolution 271 is authorizing the purchase of an energy transfer station for the Harbor Center Building Steam to Hot Water Conversion Project from Energetex Systems, LLC, for an amount not to exceed $95,978. Item 20, Resolution 272, authorizing purchase of an energy transfer station for the St. Luke's Building, a steam to hot water conversion project from Energetex Systems, LLC, in the amount not to exceed $150,731.30. And item 21, Resolution 281, is a resolution to establish a no parking zone on the lower side of East or 3rd Street from Asaba Avenue to 12th Avenue East. And if I may, Councilor Kennedy.
Can I just read in one clarification on Resolution 272? I believe that should be St. Luke's Building A. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Go ahead, Councilor Mayo.
Thank you, President Kennedy. On Resolution 281, item 21, the no parking zone on that lower side of 3rd Street, is that just clarifying an existing area? Because I believe that's a lane of traffic on that side. Is that correct?
Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, that is correct. This is an existing no parking area. We are required by state law to formalize that so that we can utilize municipal state aid funds on that street. And so that is why this action is before you today.
And then just one other question, if I may, on the three resolutions related to these heating systems. Is there a reason we're seeing all three of these at once? Because I know that that's kind of a goal, obviously, to convert everything to these kind of steam to hot water conversions. Or are they just kind of coming down the pipe at the same time by coincidence?
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, my suspicion is that these were all put out to bid by Duluth Energy Systems at the same time. And given that the bid was then awarded, that they're coming as a result of that, all in a package.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Mayo. And sponsors. We'll move on to Councilor Tominick, Public Safety. We're in item number 22.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Resolution 269, authorizing proper city officials to accept a $20,000 grant from the State of Minnesota Department of Natural Resources to fund the Duluth Police Department's Get Hooked on Fishing program.
Questions? Sounds like fun. We'll move on to Recreation, Libraries, and Authorities. Councilor Forsman, could you read in for Councilor Hobbs, please?
Thank you, President Kennedy. I am happy to do Councilor Hobbs' work. Resolution 191, authorizing an amendment to Agreement L30338 with Gardner Builders Duluth for professional construction management services for the Hartley Nature Center building expansion and Hartley Park improvements to increase the amount by $214,655.51 for a new total of $2,754,965.51. Resolution 263, approving City of Duluth Library Security Assessment for Main Duluth Public Library and authorizes implementation of recommendations as resources permit. Resolution 264, authorizing application to the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources for a regional trail program grant of up to $300,000 to construct a portion of Segment 6 of the Cross City Trail. Resolution 265, authorizing an agreement with AMI Consulting Engineers for coastal engineering services at multiple locations damaged during the November 2022 storm for a total amount not to exceed $162,075. Resolution 268, authorizing application for and acceptance of a general obligation bond grant for expenses directly related to pre-design, design, construction, furnishing, and equipping a seawall and lake walk infrastructure with related surface improvements, including a boardwalk and bike trails, public gathering spaces, and loading areas along the shore of Lake Superior in the City of Duluth in the amount of $13,500,000. And Resolution 273, authorizing an amendment to Agreement L30568 with KFI Engineers for additional engineering services for the City Hall Mechanical, Electrical, and Plumbing Renewal Project for an increase of $578,600 for and a new total amount not to exceed $1,526,900.
Sir Forsman, that took your breath away, so he owes you. We'll go to Councilor Mayo, please.
Thank you, President Kennedy. On item 27 related to that grant for areas of the seawall and lake walk infrastructure, I just wanted to ask for clarification on what a loading area would be. Is that related to like loading into the lake, like a kayak, or I couldn't find clarification in the text. So,
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, I'm going to ask Director Philby Williams, who's more familiar with the specifics of that, to speak to it.
Welcome.
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, yes, you are correct. That refers both to loading areas for loading passengers and areas onto cruise ships and areas for loading and offloading supplies and garbage from those ships.
Okay, fantastic. And the scope of this project, does that then go from like the deck seawall area through Canal Park, or is it just kind of more of a limited scope?
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, there are actually two different project sites. One is the deck seawall and adjoining flat spaces, inclusive of Harbor Drive, from the aquarium to nearly the corner where the blue pedestrian bridge is located. The other is actually Brighton Beach, where this will cover the remaining costs to resiliently reconstruct the infrastructure in that shoreline park.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Tominick.
President Kennedy, I have a question for Director Philby Williams. My question is whether this amount has increased tremendously. It seems to me we were talking about this a few years ago, and for some reason, $5 million sticks in my head. Is it because of increased costs, or are we combining other things in this $13 million ask?
President Kennedy, Councilor Tomanek, the $13.5 million is the final authorization from the state for the state bonding that was awarded in the fall of 2020. So that $13.5 million figure has remained the same. It was the case in the period between 2020 and the present that construction costs went through the roof and steel prices in particular went through the roof. We mostly were able to offset that with someone else's dollars by working in partnership with the federal government to secure a $4.9 million Department of Commerce grant. And there was some still remaining overage, that will affects our ability to fully reconstruct the lake walk with our own dollars. And that is why some weeks ago we submitted another grant application authorization for federal funds to complete that project. So yes, costs have spiked a great deal, and we have hustled with good success to have those costs covered by our federal partners.
Thank you, Director Philby Williams. I want to commend you because you are always looking for other ways for other people to help pay for the costs that the city benefits from, and it's greatly, I know that's just dear to your heart. Much appreciated.
Back to the agenda. I know we're at the end of our consent agenda, and so we'll be reading ordinances for the second time, and councilors will be reading these in on Monday night. So we'll read them in tonight as well. So Vice President Randorf, please.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Ordinance 9 is an ordinance amending Duluth City Code Section 41-24, modifying council approval requirements for department head purchases and awarding contracts.
We'll move on to item 30. Councilor Anderson, please.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Ordinance 11, an ordinance amending the RP District Regulations Plan for Ramsey Village to designate land near 52nd Avenue West and Eleanor Street to be type 8 mixed-use commercial and residential building to designated parts of lots 12 to through 18, block 168, West Duluth 7th Division, to be type 8 building, and to add type 8 building to existing type 6 building on lots 24 through 28, block 169, West Duluth 7th Division. And ordinance 12, amending the official zoning map of the city of Duluth to reclassify 660 acres from an MUN to AP Airport District, and to reclassify 110 acres from MUB to AP on land currently used for airport operations at the Duluth International Airport.
Councilor Anderson. Councilors, any? Was there one more? Oh, sorry, I didn't scroll down. Oh, yeah.
I'm here. More work to do. Ordinance 13, amending the official zoning map of the city of Duluth to reclassify one half block of south of West 1st Street between 19th Avenue West and 20th Avenue West from Mixed Use Business MUB to form District 5F5.
Thank you, President, or Councilor Anderson. I'll be next after that, but first we'll go to Councilor Mayo. You have a question?
Yeah, I just had a question on item 32, ordinance 13. If we were, if there was a move to table or to look at this a little bit further, given the Lincoln Park Flats development and what we'll be discussing in the midst of that, would there be any perceived impact on this specific ordinance?
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, I don't believe there's any immediate impact. I will just say that this is a land use change. It is not a development agreement. There's no property. There's no development that is proposed yet for this site. And so what all this is preparing for that possibility. And so it would slow down our ability to work with the potential developer on that. But there is no, from my perspective, there's no connection between what's happening at Lincoln Park Flats and this item. Should there be a development that comes forward that has affordable units that are funded by a public subsidy, then certainly the action that the council is proposing to take in the resolution, the number's not in front of me, but in your resolution, would be something that would guide our work on that. But I don't believe that they're connected in a way that would necessitate any changes to this. Should you choose to table that, that's something that is the council's discretion, but I don't personally believe it's necessary.
Thank you.
Councilor Mayo, Councilor Anderson, are you? Any other councilors? One last item, and that's under Committee of the Whole for me, an ordinance, Ordinance 10, amending Section 2-42 of the Duluth City Code 1959 as amended, relating to the assignment of election precincts. Any questions? Questions, comments, upcoming business? Councilor Anderson, please.
Thank you, President Kennedy. And I'm just wondering if, I guess I would like to see item 16, Resolution 286, pulled from consent. Provide appropriate comments at the appropriate time.
Thank you, Councilor Anderson. I believe we are... Vice President Randolph.
Thank you so much. I just, Ann Glumack, for being here today on behalf of the Finance Committee. We didn't have any questions. You gave an excellent presentation last week and answered all those. So thank you so much for being here.
Just updates for the meeting. We do have a Committee of the Whole, I believe, next week on library security.
Correct.
Date from Councilor Randorf on some finance meetings. Just a brief. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else? Yes. Councilor Anderson, please. Yes.
Thank you. A couple of things. One, I wanted to say happy Easter and a good Passover to everyone who's celebrating those holidays. And also, I got this, I'm assuming everybody else did too, about the League of Minnesota Cities conference, annual conference in Duluth, June 21st through the 23rd. I'm going to be in Italy, so I won't be there, but I hope you all will go in my stead.
I'm going your seat.
We're adjourned. We're done.